الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم القرآن حجة لك أو عليك أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين وشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا رب صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله Most respected ulama-i-kiram, hufaz of the Qur'an, brothers and elders, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My standing in front of you, in the presence of Hazrat Mawlana Naeem Saab, is like that person who wants to get his license. So the instructor is the one who's got his license, and the one who learns, he's got his learners. So now the instructor, he's more obviously experienced on the road, but he'll tell that learner, you drive. Why? So he can pinpoint all his faults, so that one day he can also become an instructor. So Hazrat Mawlana has the license. We don't even have the learners. We've got it backdoor, so we ask Hazrat Mawlana to advise us on whatever wrong we have said. We ask Allah to give us the tawfiq to say that which is the truth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us in this month of Ramadan for the Qur'an-i Kareem. It was approximately 1400 years or more that the best and the choices of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stood in the midst of the desert and spoke to Bedouins, simple-minded people, about the formation of clouds and the different winds that will bring about those rain clouds. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in the Qur'an, Allahu alladhi yursilu ar-riyaha fatuthiru sahaba. Allah speaks about the different types of winds that will bring the rain clouds. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to the Bedouins in the desert where there was no two seas meeting, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَهُوَ الَّذِي مَرَجَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ هَذَا عَذْبٌ فُرَاتٌ وَهَذَا مِلْحٌ أُجَاجٌ وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَهُمَا بَرْزَخًا وَحِجَرًا مَحْجُورًا. That there are two neighboring seas. And these two seas, one water is palatable and sweet, the other is bitter and sour. But these two neighboring waters will never mix. And in recent history they call it surface tension, because of which these two waters have different densities, they will never mix. Nabi Sallam never saw it, but he addressed the entire ummah and told them there is something like this in the world. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke to this ummah, and Nabi Sallam said, "Uhilla lakum sayyidul bahr," that the tremendous benefits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had kept in fatty oils in omega-3, which today the doctors are telling us are good for heart disorders. Allah spoke about it more than 1400 years ago in the Qur'an-i Kareem. About that contraction, that facilitates easy birth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the birth of Maryam, when she was in her labor pains, when she was given birth. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told her when her pain started, وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ. When the labor pains start, now you need to pull onto a branch. Pull yourself up and try to bring the branch down. Shake it. So from here then the doctor said that the squatting position is very good. In medicine terms they call it the squat bar, which once upon a time they had. Well, nowadays you got labor pains, you go to the hospital, they tie you up and they say wait for the baby to come out. And if it's not coming out, induce her. So that natural way of giving birth for which it's without difficulty. Allah spoke about it in Quran already. 1400 years ago. So this Quran is a living miracle. And each one of us can become living miracles on condition we have this Quran-e Kareem into our hearts. Imagine a person who has he has a SIM card. He's got a SIM card, he holds that SIM card in his hand, he says, I'm connected. You got any problems, I'll make the call for you. You foolish, you cannot call anyone. So what if you have the SIM card? With that SIM card, like, it's similar to a person holding Quran and say, I'm successful, I'm successful. You're only holding the recipe of success. That recipe hasn't been implemented in your life. Similar is the SIM card. You can't hold a SIM card and say you're connected. That SIM card needs to be put into a phone. Not in the phone, in the SIM slot. And similarly, this Quran has to be slotted into the heart of ours. And not only that, you can't put the SIM card into its slot and expect it to work. Then you need to have battery life. And if your battery is, at least you have a little bit battery, you can connect. And that is that battery of yaqeen on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this Quran al-Kareem that we need to have. Now when you got the SIM card in its slot with battery life, you connect it to one of the providers. Now you can make emergency calls. Anytime you call, you'll get response. Now you got this Quran in your heart, you connect it to Allah. Anytime you talk to Allah, Allah says, my banda, he wanted something. Quickly say to him. Quickly ask him what he wants. Give him what he wants. He's connected with me. So if we can't get connected, connect ourselves to the people that are connected. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us the true love of the Quran al-Kareem that was revealed in this auspicious month. So we find that the impact that the Quran al-Kareem has and had in history is unparalleled. Umar radiallahu anhu. So many examples. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed this Quran al-Kareem with such exact measure, with such perfect calculation, in even the wordings of it, that researchers have said, ulama-i-kiram that have researched into the Quran, have said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions sabah samawat 7 times, the 7 skies and earth 7 times. Allah mentioned the word yawm, day, 365 times. Allah mentioned the word shahar, month, 12 times. Allah mentioned dunya and akhirat equally 115 times. Allah mentioned Jannat 77 times, Jahannam 77 times. Halal 250 times, Haram 250 times. Allah mentions the land 13 times and the sea 32 times. If you calculate the two, it comes to 45. You do your exact calculations, you will get the exact proportions of earth and water on land, on earth. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the Quran with such perfect calculation and such exact measure, even in the wordings of the Quran al-Kareem. This very same Quran al-Kareem, there's such perfection in it, there's perfection in even the recipe to success that Allah has outlined in the Quran al-Kareem. So as we said, Umar radiallahu anhu, very famous incident, we all know, that he is coming into the fold of Islam, going with the intention of assassinating Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hears a few ayat of the Quran, he becomes a Muslim. Very famous incident, we always hear. Akhtam bin Saifi, who was the leader of his tribe, was seen out of Medina Munawwara. That Balagha Akhtam bin Saif radiallahu anhu, Makhraju Rasulillahi sallam, when he got information that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has proclaimed to be a prophet, so he, fa'ata qawmahu, he came to his nation, he says, we need to investigate the authenticity of this, how true is it, is it true? So eventually two people got ready, they said, don't worry, we'll be your messengers, we'll be ambassadors, we'll go get some information. They go to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they say, we are nahnu rusulu akhtam. And he wants only two questions, he wants two answers. Yas'aluka man anta wa ma anta. Two questions. Who are you? What are you? Two questions. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, well, with regards to man anta, ana Muhammad ibn Abdullah. I am only Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, the servant of Allah. Abdullahi wa Rasulu. That's who I am. That's my introduction. Wama anta, what are you? What I am. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the ayat of the Quran. Inna allaha ya'muru bil adli wal ihsani wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha anil fahshai wal munkari wal baghi. This is the ayat that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited. He repeated it a few times. These people come back to Akhtam bin Saifi, they repeat that ayat in front of him. Immediately he accepts the shahadat and he becomes a Muslim. One ayat. Today you speak on the Quran al-Kareem for 3 hours, after that must still make tashkil also. And that too, that tashkil is not the half an hour. So imagine one ayat, it turned the life of this person from kafir to Muslim. One ayat. Inna Allah ya'muru bil adl, which we hear every week, which is the ayat that is recited in the second khutbah. Every week we hear it. But why is there no change in us? Today that same ayat which Akram bin Saifi embraced Islam and became a Muslim, as one alim says, today you ask the ummah, what is this ayat? Inna Allah ya'muru bil adl. You see, the second khutbah is coming to an end. Get ready for salah. Allah give us the correct love for the Qur'an-e-Kareem. So why was this effect that was there in the Qur'an-e-Kareem? The Sahaba radiallahu anhum had yaqeen in this Qur'an-e-Kareem. They had total yaqeen in it. Riwayat of Abu Dawud Sharif, Kharija bin Salt radiallahu anhu narrates, and he says, we were new Muslims. We were new Muslims. We just embraced Islam. We just came into the fold of Islam. As we were returning home, we passed by one tribe and the leader was very sick. So they told us that, Inna umbi'na annakum qad ji'tum min indi hadha rajul bi khair. We've got information, you all are coming from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you've got a lot of blessings. One of our leaders is very, very sick. Can you do something? We've tried everything, it's not working. So one person, new Muslim, he says, no problem, we can sort him out. So he says that, فَقَرَأْتُ عَلَيْهِ فَاتِحَةَ الْكِتَابِ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَامْ غُدْوَةَ وَعَشِيَةَ. All I did was, to make it a little professional, I told him, morning and evening I'll come to him, we'll sort him out, morning and evening. Like the doctor tells you, need to have your medications morning and evening. So he's making his taweez little bit, his amal little bit professional. Say, morning and evening I'll come. So he goes morning and evening, three times he reads Surah Fatiha every day he goes. Three times Surah Fatiha, morning and evening. He blows on this leader. After 3 days, كَأَنَّمَا أُنْشِطَ مِنْ إِقَالِ, as if he was a newborn child running around, with no sickness at all. So Surah Fatiha, such yaqeen the Sahabi had on it. New Muslim. Such yaqeen in it. That is why Surah Fatiha is even called Surah Al-Shifa. New Muslim, just reciting Surah Fatiha and giving, by means of which Allah grants Shifa to this leader. And today if a person is in problems, the first thing is open the medicine cupboard and see if there's medication. If that's not working, it's a little bit severe, you need to go to the doctor. And if that's not working, it's a little bit more severe than that, you'll go to the specialist. Specialist not even working, doctors don't know what's wrong with you. No, we'll have to go to Molana for Taweez. You go from Molana to Taweez, the Taweez not even working. Now you ask the person, by what you're doing? No, we're giving sadqah and now we're making dua. But what's left? Allah is left. Astaghfirullah. Last you put Allah. Everything else first. No one is saying don't go to the doctor. Allah puts the shifa in the doctor's hands. So you need to turn to Allah first. Oh Allah, I'm sick. Grant me shifa. Go to the doctor. Can you cure me? Can you give me some medication? That's all. You need to put Allah first anyway. That's number one. That we need to have yaqeen in this Quran-e Kareem. And in today's time, be very careful. Be very, very careful. There are so many people that are saying, and this is something we thought it wasn't common. It's like so common nowadays. You ask a person, by reading Quran, I don't understand, why must I read? I don't understand, why must I read? So understand it and start reading then. Says, no, I don't understand, so I won't read it. One day, there was a grandfather and a grandson sitting together. And the grandfather is reading a lot of Quran-e-Kareem. He's reading a lot of Quran. So the grandson asks him, Dada, you're reading so much Quran, you know what you're reading? No, bhai, I don't know what I'm reading. You see, what benefit? Why are you reading so much Quran? There's no need to read so much of Quran. So Dada told him, no problem. What you do is, that there was one bucket that normally they were using to put coal, for putting coal in the fireplace. So this bucket normally has holes. So the grandfather told the grandson, go to the nearby stream and bring water. Dada, I can't bring water with this, it got holes. So just go try, you'll make it. So he goes, he comes, and by the time he reaches Dada, there's no water into that bucket. So Dada says, no man, try again, you'll make it. Run faster this time, right? So he goes second time, and he comes back, water is empty. He says, no, Dada says, you can do it, man. You know, and they have a little bit of Milo cereal and then go. So he eats a little bit breakfast, whatever it is, he goes, he comes back. It's still not, by the time he reaches, there's still no water in the bucket. Dada says, last time try, bhai. One time, last time, I'm sure you'll get water. Last time he comes and still there's no water. So the Dada says, bhai, you brought water? He says, I never brought any water. He says, can you see any change in the bucket? He says, Dada, yes. When I took it first time, it was soiled, it was black. The effects of that coal was on it. But four times I ran to the stream and I came back. Now the bucket is clean. I never brought water, but the bucket got clean. So you see, you may not be able to contain the message of Quran, but your heart is getting clean with the Quran-e-Kareem. That's the effects of the Quran-e-Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this love of the Quran-e-Kareem that we recite it again and again. But yes, important that we need to understand the message of the Quran-e-Kareem. That is very, very important. Together with yaqeen on the Quran is that to have adab, complete etiquette and love and respect for this Quran-e-Kareem. Jabir radiallahu anhu, riwayat of Muslim Sharif, he says in one of the battles, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed two sahaba. One was an Ansari, one was a Muhajir. He says, both of you all will stand guard while we sleep the night. So the Muhajir sahabi goes and he sleeps. The two guards, they say, we'll take turns, we'll take shifts. So the Ansari says, no problem, you relax, you sleep. I'll stay on guard. So while I'm on guard, I will read salah. So the Ansari, he started his salah, he's reading a lot of salah, long salah he's reading. And the enemy, one of the enemies, they sense that no, this is a Muslim. So they attacked him with three arrows and eventually some of that blood spilt and it went onto the Muhajir Sahabi and he woke up. He woke up and eventually they defended themselves. They defended off the enemy. So this person says, "Why he shot you one time, two times, three times. Why only on the third time, then only I came to know because some blood spilt onto me. You carried on with your salah." He says, "Kuntu fi suratin aqra'uha." The Sahabi says, "I was reading one surah. فَلَمْ أُحِبَّ نَقْتَعَهَا I never had the heart to stop that surah until I completed it, then I made salam." And today while you're reading in between the ayat you will read. And then the phone call comes. Then you'll take the phone call and you'll stop the message of Allah. You'll put the phone, you'll put the Quran on hold and you'll take the call. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ This is against etiquette of the Quran-e-Kareem. That's why we not find the desired effects of this Quran-e-Kareem. Someone, you see something around or you need to talk to someone, you stop right in between, you'll put your finger there and you'll talk and you'll give your message. This is against the etiquette. Finish the ruku. At least finish the ayat. At least that much. Finish the ayat. This, when you're reading Quran al-Kareem, Umar radiallahu anhu says, Allah is talking to you. Allah is talking to you when you're reciting Quran. Riwayat of Muslim Sharif, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي I have distributed salah. I've divided it between me and my servant. This, when my servant has to stand in salah and he says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Then Allah says, Hamidani Abdi. You read Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allah is saying, Hamidani Abdi. Allah is talking to you. And he's saying that my servant has praised me. And the entire surah, there is a conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One day, Abdullah bin Mubarak, rahimullah, was the great giant scholar of his time. He was traveling and going for Hajj. On the road, he sees a very old lady. And he sees this lady sitting on the side of the road. He comes to her and he approaches her. And he says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. She says, Salamun qawlan min rabbir rahim. She makes salam by an ayat of the Quran. So then he asks her, Mada tasna'ina fi hadha al-makan? What you doing here? So she says, an answer by an ayat of the Quran, وَمَن يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ That person who is lost, who is there to guide him besides Allah? Meaning, I'm lost. So he says, okay. أَيْنَ تُرِيدِينَ What's your destination? Where are you heading to? She says, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى So she quotes this ayat. So then he realized what was her objective and where she's heading in. She quoted this ayat of Mi'raj. Then he says, strange, everything I'm asking her, she's replying with some ayat of the Quran-e Kareem. So then he tells her, I don't see any food with you. What's happening to you? So she says, Huwa yut'imuni wa yasqeen. She answers by another ayat of the Quran. Allah is feeding me. She says, but it's not Ramadan, why are you fasting? She answers with another ayat of the Quran. وَمَن تَطَوَّعَ خَيْرًا فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَّهُ To keep nafal, an optional fast is good. Allah will reward you. Allah will reward you for that. So she say, then he tells her, but listen, you are on safar, you're a musafir, you're traveling. You can break your fast. It's permissible. So then he tells her, she replies with another ayat of the Quran. ثُمَّ أَتِمُّ الصِّيَامَ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ And there's an entire incident that carries on, this discussion between Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah and this lady. Every question he posed, just a few parts of it we are mentioning to you. And it carries on this discussion. Then he tells her that, min ayyi nas ant, that from which group of people are you from? Which clan? وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. Don't delve into things that don't bother you. Don't ask those questions. It doesn't bother you. She answers with the ayat of the Quran. Then he tells her, please man, maaf. Please forgive me. لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. She answers with another ayat of the Quran. We Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the incident of Yusuf alayhi salam. لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. No problem. Allah will forgive you, inshallah. Then after that, the discussion continues. And then he says, no problem, I'll take you to your destination. وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. You do good, Allah will reward you. Then he tells her, no problem. He lowers his conveyance. He tells her, jump on. So she says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبَصَارِهِمْ. They tell the believing men, they must lower their gazes because I need to climb onto this conveyance. Everything she's quoted in an ayat of the Quran. She comes onto the conveyance. سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي سَخَّرَ لَنَا هَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ. Dua of Safar. Then they carry on this journey. He asks her, but hey, you're so pious. Are you married? Are you married? So she says, لَا تَسْأَلُوا عَنْ أَشْيَاءَ إِن تُبْدَ لَكُمْ تَسُؤْكُمْ. Another ayat. Don't ask certain things. If you get the answer, you'll be heartbroken. He says, okay, no problem. Leave that question one side. They carry on the journey. They see a caravan of people. So he says, maybe you part of this caravan. She says, Al-malu wal-banuna zinatul hayati dunya. Indicative of the point that, yes, my sons are here. Your sons are here. What's their names? Now you need to speak. You need to speak. Your sons are here. So she says, Ya Yahya khudil kitaba bi quwwa. Wattakhadha Allahu Ibrahima khalila. Wa kallama Allahu Musa taklima. So he understood who? Three sons. Yahya, Musa and Ibrahim. Yahya, Musa, Ibrahim, your mother is here. So eventually the sons come. So then he says, this is your mother. Gee, she's only speaking Arabic. She's only speaking Quran, not Arabic. Only Quran she's speaking. Yes. She's speaking only Quran. مَخَافَةَ أَن تَزِلَّ فَيَسْخُتَ عَلَيْهَا الرَّحْمَنِ. She only speaks Quran. She fears that she may make one wrong utterance with this tongue because of which Allah will become angry with me. Then she says, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَىٰ. Is Allah's fadl and mercy upon me that I'm able to do this. But listen, for how long? The son says, for 40 years she's doing this. Only talk in Qur'an-i Kareem. We're not asking the majma and the ummah to speak Qur'an. We say, hold your tongues. We're not saying talk Qur'an. We say, practice Qur'an, understand the message of the Qur'an-i Kareem. And control our tongues and be careful of what we are saying. Why? Coming to the message. Why for 40 years you are only talking Qur'an-i Kareem? Why? She says, I came upon this one ayat of the Qur'an where Allah says, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. There's never a word that is uttered with this tongue except that it is recorded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of fear of this, I will only speak Qur'an-i Kareem. So one ayat drove her to this level that she only speaks Qur'an-i Kareem. Allah give us the tawfiq. Imagine on the day of Qiyamah, we're going to stand in front of Allah. Allah is going to say, my banda, I give you 30 paras, 30 juz. What you understood from there? What percent of it you understood? Tafsir takes place in this masjid, in every masjid. Are we sitting for the tafsir? What excuse do we have? What excuse? Allah is going to ask, come tell me one, explain to me at least one para of the Quran. Can you explain to me my message to you? Oh, my banda, I was giving you a recipe to Jannat. I was giving you the highway, that road. Where's it? You know it. What answer are we going to give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah give us that love for the Qur'an-i Kareem. That we understand the Qur'an-i Kareem. We join ourselves with the ulama. Very important. That if you download the wrong programs, you get viruses on your computer. So, and if you're going to listen to the wrong messages of the Qur'an-i Kareem, you'll get viruses also from the Qur'an-i Kareem. يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. The same Qur'an will give you a virus. Al-Qur'an حُجَّةٌ لَكَ أَوْ عَلَيْكَ. The Quran can be a proof against you. That is why we need to link ourselves with the ulama-i-kiram and get the correct translation and tafsir of the Quran-i-Kareem. The last point our Ustad told us, Quran starts with Bismillahir-Rahmanir-Rahim. What's the first letter? Bismillah, Ba. And the Quran ends with Minal Jinnati wan Nas. And what's the last alphabet? Seen. So he says, take the first letter and the last letter and put it together. What do we have?
Bas. He says, Bas Quran is sufficient for your success in dunya, qabar and akhirat. Allah give us the tawfiq to internalize and put this Quran-e-Kareem into our lives. Wa akhir da'wan. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.